On X-Ray FM, you're listening to Street Roots Radio. I'm Hannah Francis. This project is a collaboration between X-Ray FM, KBU Radio, and local publication Street Roots. Street Roots is a nonprofit organization in Portland, Oregon that creates income opportunities for people experiencing homelessness and poverty by producing a newspaper and other media that are catalysts for individual and social change. Today, we have an interview with Street Roots investigative reporter Henry Brannon, here to talk to me about his latest article, Waging War on Lawns. Portland Food Forest Initiative is expanding access to healthy food and permaculture knowledge, but that's just the start. Hey, Henry, thanks for being here with me.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. So tell me a little bit about this article that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, for sure. So it comes in our kind of like food themed issue. Obviously, the last one was pretty heavy, looking at the supportive housing services cliff. This, on the other hand, looks at food stuff. So we have, before my article, a great story by Kanani Cortez about a local SNAP double up food bucks program. And that basically means if you have federal food aid, the SNAP program, and you spend 20 bucks, you get 40. Details in there, as well as a watermelon tomato gazpacho recipe. So that's there's that. And then my story is kind of similar. It's a profile of PDX Food Forest Initiative and their war on lawns.
Amazing. Thank you. So let's start off with what PDX Food Forest Initiative is.
Yeah, for sure. So it's a nonprofit for starters, and basically they're all about permaculture. It started in 2022. It's a project of this guy, Dan Sloan, although they, of course, have, you know, people on the board and whatnot. And so they seek to make food forests. And they're basically like, it's like a garden that kind of mimics a natural forest ecosystem, but instead it focuses on food production, and kind of sustainable organic practices. And so, yeah, that's basically what they are. And then what they do in practice is they make food forests in people's yards, and are kind of increasingly moving to doing these bigger projects in kind of community groups or with community groups. But what I joined them for was a tour of a couple of their sites that they offer to the public.
Amazing. I'd love to hear about that tour. I also want to know what, you know, just so like people have a reference. I think we're in Portland. A lot of people know about food forests, but food forests compared to a lawn, like what are we looking at here?
Yeah, I mean, basically one is meant to be like, I mean, one is just monoculture, and it's just, you know, generally not kind of species that are part of broader ecosystem in a really helpful way. And then, you know, the food forests are all about kind of a sustainable ecosystem, replicating in kind of, I think, you know, Dan's inspired, it sounds a lot like, by kind of what Native nations were doing all around the Americas, and continue to do, of course, but at, you know, a smaller scale because of the extent of colonialism, about kind of maintaining ecosystems that are in balance and good, but also produce a lot of nutritious food. So that's kind of the difference.
Thank you. So tell me about your tour. Where did you go? What did you see?
Yeah, so it was on a Saturday. I showed up, and it was to a backyard in the Cully neighborhood, and you kind of walk back there, and it was just pretty staggering. I mean, it's controlled chaos. You know, you've just got green just exploding from these rows, you know, at all levels of kind of the kind of like mini canopy. You know, there's fruit trees, you know, kind of extending upwards, there's berries crawling along the ground, and then there's kind of everything you could imagine in between. And so eventually about two dozen people showed up, sold out tour, I'll add. And, you know, it opened up with kind of an intro spiel about who they are, what they do, don't eat food without an invite, you know, watch where you step. And then there was, and I'd say too, the attendees were really varied, you know, everything from like master gardeners, to homeowners seeking to do it for themselves. There's a couple kind of prospective homeowners who were kind of like, I'm looking to buy a home in Portland. I'd love it if it met your criteria. And then there are some friends who were just kind of along for the ride with, somebody who cared about that stuff. Then there was kind of an astoundingly thorough Q&A where people were super, super engaged, and they were talking about everything from, what to, how the species kind of interact and work with each other, how to deal with pests. It was pretty impressive, and also wide ranging. Everything from the most basic questions. To highly, highly technical. And then folks got a tour of the first site, that was kind of managed in rows. And then after that, folks went over to a second site, and looked at a kind of different model that the same place is doing. And I was able to kind of catch up with Dan along the way, and talk a little bit about his kind of broader vision for the group.
Amazing. What does that broader vision kind of look like? I mean, the article's called Waging War on Lawns. Does that have something to do with it?
It sure does. It sure does. Yeah. So, I mean, it is indeed a war on lawns. It's declared, But yeah, I mean, it started off in 2022, back with this guy, basically doing like putting ads up on Craigslist, free fruit tree pruning to learn. And they've come quite a long way. They've got, I believe it is, eight sites around Portland that are kind of these yard-based sites. But then, in addition to that, they also have four community group sites, and that's more the direction they're going. Dan told me that the backyard sites, which now are only front yard sites, you can still get one, if you reach out, if you have a front yard about 2,000 square feet in size, full sun. But anyhow, so these yard sites, were basically designed as kind of a proof of concept. And kind of practice. And clearly they're working. They are, as the old NPR ads used to say, they're verdant. They're very green. Yeah, so now they're kind of pivoting to these bigger sites. And we got to talk about a couple bigger sites. One is the Hughes Community Church Food Forest. And that's a historically black church. Our historic black church in Albina, 8,000 square foot lawn, going to be turned in, or has already been turned in, to the beginning of this community food forest. And they're kind of run by these community groups. That one's actually in partnership with Don't Shoot Portland. And there's another kind of garden using a somewhat similar model that partners with Hacienda Community Development Corporation to put a food forest in, a kind of Coley affordable housing project that serves Latino people. I should say also, this comes at a time that food is really a huge problem, in terms of just like paying for it. Obviously, anybody who's been to the grocery store lately knows it is, just brutal. Inflation is rampant. But on top of that, it's really squeezing people at the bottom. More than 1 in 10 Portlanders are food insecure. And then there's huge, huge chunks of North and East Portland, as well as certain parts of South Portland, that the USDA classifies as low-income food deserts. I should add too, Trump administration policies have stripped about 70,000 Oregonians, from SNAP, food benefits. So it's a tough time, and I think the group is really looking to expand their work and expand access to, this healthy organic food. Eventually, their goal is, to have a much more of these kind of bigger community-oriented sites, and for, I believe it was, half that food to go to mutual aid groups. Right now, it's split between volunteers and the homeowners, who are, of course, signing over, their yards to be used by the group for a couple of years. So, yeah, that's kind of their model. That's what they're up to. And, there's some funny scenes, that, you should check out in the story, some sour apples, people filled with wonder at the magic of grafting. And, the issue, I should say, to put in the plug, also has a fantastic story, done by an OPB reporter in partnership with ProPublica about the Deschutes River. So check out this week's issue of Streeters.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And where can people read this article?
Absolutely. So, of course, you can also check it out on our website. But what you can also do on our website is you can go to streetroots.org/vendors, scroll down and see where vendors are and pick up the issue, the hard copy, which I will mention is color and has some really astoundingly beautiful design by Etta O'Donnell King, who is Street Roots designer extraordinaire. So definitely check it out. And yeah.
Amazing. Thanks so much for your time, Henry.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Street Roots Radio. For Extra FM, I'm Hannah Francis.